I've already had requests to get out early for the football game. I can tell that some people didn't even come to get out early, but a little sparse here in the middle. Tracking that traffic, I hope so. Anyway, good morning. I'm glad I'm here. You know, I don't understand what Leslie was talking about when she said, I see you looking at me, but you're not listening. I've never experienced that in here. Remember, dear, I'm up here every week. I watch their eyeballs. Sometimes they're glazed over. Sometimes. Are you getting any benefit from this study? We're a couple of weeks away from being finished on this particular study. But I was asked this morning by Gilbert if to talk about the Ebola plague. And no. Well, I have some scripture for you. Or wild beasts. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will protect you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. Psalm 91 is a wonderful thing to memorize, because that's the only response I have for you. If God doesn't protect us, then we have a problem, right? Gilbert was talking about terrorists coming in with that disease and contaminating people. That certainly could happen. Do you know there's a reason why in Luke 21 that it said that when these things start happening upon the world, that men's hearts start, failing them for fear? In other words, you're just kind of looking at the very beginning of the future. Fortunately, for your benefit, we will be out of here before it gets really bad. I believe that with all my heart and soul based on the Word of God. It says we have not been appointed to wrath, but to salvation. Speaking of a reference to the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It also says the same thing in chapter 1. But let me tell you what's kind of exciting about all this. Our Lord has written 66 books in a book that we find is the basis of our faith. And the things that he writes are so incredibly accurate. It just depends on when you live. But you have the advantage of living in a time, particularly if you're more than 65. There's a few of you in here that are. A couple of you. A couple of hundred. But anyway. You have seen some of the most amazing things according to the Scriptures take place. Some people don't even realize what's going on. Did you know that? You have the advantage that because of the Scripture and our perspective regarding the Scripture, that we believe it to be true and literal in its prophecies, you have seen some amazing things take place. Do you know how amazing it is that Israel is back in the land after 2,000 years? It's a phenomenal miracle. It's just unbelievable that they are back and that they are prospering. It's a miracle that they have 600 million people around them that hate them and want to kill them, and God keeps them safe. Isn't that amazing? Gives them things like the Iron Dome and so forth. It's also absolutely amazing that Babylon is one of the key factors in the news today, and God knew that. 2,600 years ago. Did you know that? The prophets Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah all wrote about and Ezekiel all wrote about this Babylon that you see in your newspaper every day. Where is the central fight today? Iraq, Babylon. And so we're going to look a little bit this morning. Oh, no. Something happened. Hold on one second. I have to go 150 slides. And I can't even turn it off. There we go. I apologize. I said it right when I started. I need a little grace. I want to give you the background. What does God think about Babylon? Do you know? Where did Babylon start? Do you know Abraham was an Iraqi? He was from Ur of the Chaldeans. He started out in Babylon. Well, it's a little confusing as to where the Ur is. Some think it's south, some think it's north. But I want to talk about the background, assuming I can get it to work, about a guy named Nimrod. Have you ever heard of Nimrod? Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, the beginning of his kingdom was where? Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that, he went forth into Assyria and built Nineveh and Rehoboth, and Calah and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah. That is the great city. You ever been to any of those places? Doug, you went to Shiner. That's Shiner beer in Shiner, Texas. I actually looked up Calneh, and I think it's been in the news lately, but you tell me. It's a place they call today Khorsabad. Have you heard of that one? It is north of a place called Mosul, which is Nineveh. And Rezin is in between Khorsabad and Nineveh or Mosul. But he built those. So he built Babylon, the city, Babel, and he built Nineveh. Are those two of the great cities of antiquity? Two of the greatest cities of antiquity. And he was the enemy of God from the very start. His name means to rebel. And he was the first to rebel. He was a hunter of men. I'll share with you a little more in a second. The first to establish a rebellion against God. Now, Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The Jerusalem Targum says this: he was mighty in hunting or in prey and in sin before God. For he was a hunter of the children of men in their languages, and he said unto them, depart from the religion of Shem and cleave to the institutes of Nimrod. The Targum of Jonathan ben Uziel says, from the foundation of the world, none was ever found like Nimrod, powerful in hunting in rebellions against the Lord. The Syriac calls him a warlike giant. The word Syed which we render hunter, signifies prey, and is applied to the Scriptures and to the hunting of men by persecution, oppression, and tyranny. This is the first tyrant on the earth, the first one to rebel against God, the first one to literally persecute and oppress people by rapine and violence, founded the domination which became the first, was the first distinguished by the name of a kingdom on the face of the earth. Babylon is the enemy of God in every way. You remember this? The Tower of Babel. Why did they build the Tower of Babel? To reach, what, Joshua? To reach into the heavens about God. And literally, they wanted to tell the future through astrology. They were astrologists. You read your horoscope today, you're a good Babylonian. Did you know that? What's wrong with horoscopes? All right, worshiping the creation, not the creator. Do you know that the horoscopes are based on the concept of astrology and the alignment of the planets, right? The fundamental issue in the horoscopes and in astrology is that you cannot change. Wherever you find yourself in your horoscope or your birth, and they ask you questions, or whether you're a Libra or a Pisces or a whatever, they ask you on the basis that your destiny is foretold in the stars. Did you know that? Christianity says what? Put your faith in Christ, you can change. No change in the astrology, you can change as a Christian. The Tower of Babel, they said, come let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. So they are focused on doing it themselves. They don't want any help from God. And then at the end it says, therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Our God confused the languages. It's going back in the millennium to where the languages will become one again, we think, based on one scripture. So the reality is that this Babel was rebelling against God's authority, and God had to do something about it, and he scattered them across the face of the earth. By the way, speculation, that's what it is that this is when the plates moved apart, and when we had one property. Some say that happened in the flood, but others is that's how people got to America and so forth. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Babylon, in its culture, is steeped in idolatry, the occult through sorceries, spells, and astrologies. You remember when Daniel was one of the wise men in Babylon? Who were the groups called that he associated with? What were their titles? Astrologers, soothsayers, magicians, Chaldeans. What kind of strengths are this? What kind of issues are these? Or what kind of job did they have? They were occultic. They relied on the occult in order to accomplish their result. And this is several hundred years after Nimrod. As far as idolatry, they are the essence of idolatry. And the scripture says in Jeremiah 50, declare and proclaim among the nations, proclaim it and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it, but say Babylon has been captured. Bel has been put to shame. Bel, by the way, is believed to have been Nimrod. I don't know if you knew that. They made him a god. Do not conceal it, but say Babylon has been captured. Bel has been put to shame. Marduk has been shattered. Her images have been put to shame. Her idols have been shattered. And then in Jeremiah 51, therefore, behold, days are coming when I will punish the idols of Babylon, and the whole land will be put to shame, and all her slain will fall in her midst. Prophetic aspect of Babylon. Babylon has had an impact on all world religions. Did you know that? Most world religions come from something that originated in Babylon. And I think we studied that, didn't we? We're going through Revelation 17 and 18. I took you through the impact on the world. World religions worship idols. Many world religions operate on superstition. Many world religions are steeped in the occult and demon worship. Did you know that? I could name a few, but I'll just refrain. Even the monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have been impacted by Babylon. Hislop wrote the book about the Catholic Church being the embodiment of Babylonian rituals. Babylon is at the core of most false religions. This is some of their idols. Can you believe somebody would actually worship things like that? Would you bow down against those? I mean, I just don't understand it. It's exactly what it looks like. In fact, in the tribulation period that's coming, there will be idolatry practiced widespread. Because the Scripture says in Revelation, they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their thefts, nor their idolatry. In other words, what are they going to worship? What kind of idols in the tribulation? Yes, Daniel. I'm sorry, ask that again. Can they be possessed by demons? I think the Scripture actually says that they are. Right. 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 But Ellen says you need to be very careful because she had somebody work up her astrology one time and she would be concerned about it till the date that she had put into that passed. I will tell you this. Drugs, idolatry, the occult is giving yourself an entrance to demonic spirits. Now, I'm not here to debate whether a Christian can have an indwelling demon or not, but I will guarantee you that they can give you an incredible amount of grief if you get involved in drugs, the occult, and the idolatry. They can take over your life. Yes, Tracy. Okay. All right. So Tracy says she works at a furniture store and she sells little Buddhas and other idols to these people, and she doesn't make them bow down before they buy them. But good. Prologue. Prologue. 1 second. Do what? Just chop their heads off. There you go. There. Astrology is big in India. People want to know the future, don't they? Yeah, Prolog's from India. He says there's a bunch of astrologers that are really popular in India. If you're reading your horoscope, I'm just going to give you one piece of advice. Stop. Yes. If you had some type of mask or whatever in your house, I'd get rid of it. No, I would. I'm serious. you can get in league with evil spirits by allowing yourself to entertain them in your house. Remember in Acts, I don't remember exactly where it was, when they got saved, what did they do? They burnt their books. And it says there was $50,000 worth or something. By today's dollar, it would be $50 million, you know. But they burned those books. I had an interesting experience. I used to be a hi-fi bug. I bought an expensive stereo system. And I love this one record. You remember that, dear? It was the first digital record. It was like $22 for one record. And I just love this record. And then I read the album. It was a Russian ode to demons. So I broke it, threw it away. In other words, you just need to be careful. You don't need to be... you just need to be careful. I mean, you could allow evil spirits into your home. Do you believe they exist? Absolutely they exist. Do you believe they're going to become more active the closer we get to the time of Christ? Absolutely. And so all I'm telling you is, I just want you to be cautious about what you have in your home. It may be an innocent statue to Buddha, but it's still an idol. It's still an idol. Yeah, that book's a lot more accurate than their astrology. Yes, I didn't mean to. Who stirred this up? Daniel? Y'all tired of looking at these ex-wives? Yes, you were. What do you do if you think somebody's demon-possessed in your family? The word is not demon-possessed for a believer. It's demonized. We've had experience with that in here. I don't know if you knew it, but I get them to somebody. No, it's not you, Yvonne. I get them to somebody that knows how to deal with that. That is tough. That's a tough ministry. And... Skip Smith is, by the way, in this church, is the one who is very adept at that. Randy? Oh, Patricia, you're next. You worked as a nurse in the psych unit. Right. Do y'all think it's possible that some mental illness is demonic? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Skip gave me a. Well, the problem, and I have actually been in the presence of a guy who is casting out demons. It doesn't really happen like you see on TV. People's heads don't swivel and all that. Are they vomit green puke or whatever? What, dear? No, Ouija boards. Yeah, stay away from Ouija boards. But let me finish the thought here, because you all are distracting me from my mission. Might take 3 weeks now. I'll never forget Aubrey Roper, who was a Bible teacher at First Baptist Church in Houston. And somehow God led him into this ministry under Skip Smith. He said, most people who have a demon problem, it's taken them years to get that way. It takes years to stop it. And he would work with them. Because you have to do what's take back the ground. You've got to confess your sin and all types of issues. That's why I said, I don't feel competent to have to deal with that. That's a special gift. Discerning of spirits and so forth. Look, they're a bunch of liars. I've seen them. I had one look at me and say, there's a great light around him. I heard one say, I was at the cross when it happened. I mean, the confession. But you never know if they're telling you the truth. It's sort of like Islam. You know, you just... So, I don't know. I don't like to even get into this subject. Because when we start talking about this subject, I start feeling an oppression. But just stay away from it. If you have a Buddha in your house, if you have a some type of mass from another civilization that could be a mass that was worshipped or used in a worship service, if you've got records or music, or if you've got, just don't worry about it, just get rid of it. And if you're cheap, sell it. Let somebody else have the problem. Anyway, just joking. Yes, Randy. Thank you, Randy. It's the Heavens Declare and Randy White. And there is something to that. I have studied that myself. But astrology came in and corrupted it. They took it and corrupted it, which is what they do, by the way. If you look at the impact of Babylon on most world religions, for example, the Semiramis, let's see if I get the names right, had a child. And she supposedly was a virgin. In other words, there's a corruption of the truth. But let me just say this. Most false religions have a demonic component to them. And that explains why you can't break away from them. Why people have a hard time short of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you met people that just cannot see the truth, what's the problem? They are demonically energized against the truth. And it only the Holy Spirit can break them loose from that. And by the way, demons cause a lot of problems in our society today. They cause physical illness. They cause all kinds of problems. And yes, Hannah. Right. American Horror Story, I saw that advertised. Right, all right, and that is a terrific point, because what she's saying is there are many of these shows. In fact, I was commenting to my wife, our grandson stayed with us last night, there's a program on called Lab Rats for Kids about some bionic children. And as I listened to the words that they were using, it's a Disney production, I got the sense that there's something really wrong, which is what happened to you. That's called discerning of spirits, by the way, and it's a valuable spiritual gift. And it's saying, look, this stuff can lead to trapping you into thinking a certain way. And so I would just tell you that the Scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't believe anything is true until you have the chance to compare it to what the Word of God says. If you don't know what the Word of God says, ask somebody who does so that they can take what you have heard is true and make sure that it's consistent with the Word. Yes, Irene. All right, when you were a Mormon, you could see the demonic influence. Right. Right. And then a wonderful thing that God saved you and took you out of that. Absolutely. Well, that's... Yes, Kathy. Wow. Drugs or cult or any of that stuff. Okay. So Kathy has some actual prayers to pray for somebody who has that problem. Yes, Robin. Yeah. You know what? I got one of his CDs one time, which was a CD of casting out demons, several of them. And my car has the ability, when you put a CD in it, it tapes it. So everything that I listen to as a CD is now a permanent part of my car. It was so bad, I figured out a way to erase it from the car and gave the car to Leslie. So... Don't worry, dear, it's gone. I did erase it. It's not good stuff. Look, this is serious business, and this is not frivolous. And there are people today around you who have a problem, and you've got to resist the devil, the Scripture says in James, and he'll flee from you. But you've got to stay away from anything where you know, like Kathy said, drugs, the occult, astrology, any of these Ouija boards, any of these occultic practices. And I would include what Hannah brings up, watching TV, where that is part of the TV program. It can open you up. The worst thing you can do is say, wow, I'd like to have that power. The Muslims claim, let me go back, I can get out of this. Where did Allah come from? Where did Allah come from? The moon god. Well, where did the moon god come from? He didn't come out of the clear blue. The Muslim claim that Allah is the God of the Bible and that Islam arose from the religion of the prophets and apostles is refuted by solid and overwhelming archaeological evidence. Islam is nothing more than a revival of the ancient moon god cult. It has taken the symbols, the rites, the ceremonies, and even the name of its god from the ancient pagan religion of the moon god. As such, it is sheer idolatry and must be rejected by all those who follow the Torah and the gospel, Jews and Christians, in other words. This is from BibleBelievers.org. Watch this. As concerns the God of Islam, Allah, Walker has this to say. Late Islamic masculization of the Arabian goddess Alat or Alilat, the Alatu of the Babylonians, formerly worshipped at the Kaaba in Mecca. Where is this from? The Alatu of the who? The Babylonians. It has been shown that the Allah of Islam was a male transformation of the primitive lunar deity of Arabia. Her ancient symbol, the crescent moon, still appears on the Islamic flags. Look at the Islam flags. Even though modern Muslims no longer admit any feminine symbolism, whatever, connected with the holy patriarchal Allah. Indeed, the Quran verifies Allah's lunar or night sky status. Remember the name of our Lord morning and evening. In the nighttime, worship Him. Praise Him all night long. Why? Because He's the moon god. All right? They question you about the phases of the moon. Say they are seasons fixed for mankind, etc. Why is the Babylon today the same as the Babylon of old? If you were to go in and read Jeremiah 49 and 50, or is it Isaiah 49 and 50? I'll look at them. In Jeremiah 50 and 51, there is a whole lot of Babylon in the Bible. I don't know if you know that, but it's all in the Old Testament. And there's all kinds of predictions which you're going to get to hear in here. But the question is the Babylon today the same as the Babylon in the Old Testament? Is it one and the same? Because if it's one and the same, what does that mean? It hasn't changed. Babylon is a great example of the dual aspect of fulfillment of prophecy. What do I mean by that? Babylon, if you know her history, their greatest era in Babylon history after Nimrod, back in 606 BC to 538 BC, a period of 68 years. During that 68 years was the height of Babylon. Babylon, it was predicted that Babylon would be destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. Was it? Sure, in 538. But not totally, as Richard says. It was destroyed. But if we look at the scriptures, which we will do, maybe next week, but we weren't going to do it this week, but you distracted me. There is a second fulfillment. There is an ultimate fulfillment that has not taken place. And I'm going to try to demonstrate that to you, assuming you're here. Prophecies, the Old Testament prophets, have never been fully, totally fulfilled. Prophecies of the Old Testament actually mirror the New Testament. And Babylon is the enemy of God and of Israel, according to the Scriptures, Old and New Testament. Now, I love this guy. I just became acquainted with him. He wrote a commentary on Revelation. He lived in the 1800s. Now, why would that be special? In the 1800s, what was the predominant method of biblical interpretation? Allegorical, thank you. What does that mean? That you don't take anything literally. You remember I told you, if you lived in the 1800s and I told you that Israel was going to come back into the land because God promised it in this Bible, you would have said what? You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. That's just allegorically interpreted. It's just spiritual. Israel has been set aside. God no longer thinks they're His special people. And you would say to that today, no, that's not true. All right? This guy right here lived from 1823 to 1904. He was a Moravian. And it's interesting, if you go to Wayne Hank's church history class, if you'll remember, he talks about the Moravians. They have got one of the best handles on theology I've ever seen. But this guy lived in the 1800s. Why is that important? Here's what he said. When did Babylon ever fall with so complete a fall or meet with an utter destruction from the earth as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah were completely blotted out. In fact, any of you take a vacation to Sodom? Why? You can't find it. We don't know where it is. It's believed to be where? Under the Dead Sea, all right? I'm not going there, John. Anyway, they get me sidetracked again. Now listen closely. But this has never been yet the case with Babylon. Such was not its fate when the Medes and the Persians seized it from the hands of the infamous Belshazzar, for they made it one of their royal cities. They didn't destroy it. They did what? They occupied it. They made it a royal city. In the time of Alexander the Great, 333 B.C., it still stood and was chosen as the capital of the Greco-Macedonian Empire, its capital. So was it destroyed? No, it's still there. The second city of Alexander's dominions, where he himself lived and died. Alexander died in Babylon. It continued to be a populous place under the Syrian kings who succeeded Alexander in the rule over it. That was in 165 B.C. In the time of the apostles, it was still a populous place, for both Peter and Bartholomew preached the gospel there. And there Peter wrote his first epistle. I was asked last week, what is this letter that Peter talks about to tell the dear lady in Babylon? Where is that? You go read your commentaries, most people say, oh, it's Rome. It's not Rome. It's what? Babylon. All right? There's a reason for all this, by the way. As late as 250 AD, there was a Christian church there and an influential bisphoric, for many years there, whatever, somebody, the clergy, In other words, according to Dr. Seuss, Babylon's never been destroyed. It's kept on trucking. What's there today? I showed you a map. Who remembers? There are ruins, but there's also a city called Hillel that's south of Babylon by 2 miles. Well, ancient Babylon was 15 miles square. That's big. 15 miles each way. 200 miles square. All right? So, here's what he concludes, and I'm going to end with this, because you said you have to be out early for football. I have a DVD on mine. I can tape it. I conclude then that such a great commercial city, difficult from all that now exists, will yet be, and that it will be old Babylon rebuilt. So this guy who lived in the 1800s said, based on the scripture, what's going to happen to Babylon? It's going to be rebuilt. And when the wisdom, progress, and harlotries of this world come to their final culmination, an embodiment in great Babylon, there is corresponding reason to believe that it will be centralized upon the very spot where it first started and meet its ultimate doom in the self-same locality in which it was born. When you watch your TV today, you are watching the scripture begin to be fulfilled. You're watching Iraq becoming the central issue in the world, and the Babylonians are becoming the central people in the world, and the ISIS group is formed right in Nineveh, which was according to where Nimrod started all this, and the city of Babylon, the two most important cities of antiquity. Nineveh is considered, I think, to be the oldest, isn't it? Or is it Damascus? Maybe it's Damascus. Anyway. Yes, Randy. Right, Isaiah 13, yes. Right. No one will ever find you. Because the interpretation you read about Isaiah 13 is wrong. In fact, if you read it, it says, one, there's many nations, not one or two, that destroy it. Not the Medes and the Persians, many nations. They're from the farthest horizon of the earth, and when they enter Babylon to destroy it, it is a signal or a sign that the tribulation is here, the day of the Lord. So that's just an interpretation based on historical events, ignoring all the prophecies of the utter fulfillment, which is what we'll study next week. Go watch your football. Who is it, Jim? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for him right now. Father, we just thank you that you know what's going on in this family, and we just pray for Logan. We pray that you will help the doctors to understand what he's got and that they will know the proper medicine to administer, and we just pray that you'll bring him to health. Pray for John and Stacy as they struggle with this serious illness. In Jesus' name, amen.
You mentioned Walid.
Guess it went bad. Yeah.